Well, I mean, your hair gets bigger as you get more powerful. We all know this.
That's true. And you get more eyeliner. This is a fact.
Yes, you're I mean, this is why the most powerful drag queens in the world have the most giant wigs.
It's true. Have you ever seen RuPaul? She's out there
Huge
with
wigs.
like the biggest wigs you've ever seen in your life.
Lady Bunny, have you seen her wigs? Huge.
It's
Full
true.
of power.
It's true. And we're live.
Hello and welcome to Do We Still Dig This? I'm Georgia Gove.
I'm Grace Wilbur. I hate saying my last name.
Why?
I don't know. Don't like to say my whole name. It feels unnatural.
It
I
does
don't
feel
like it.
weird to be like I'm Georgia Gove. But I guess I say it all the time because
Well, your name has a better ring to
I
it.
don't know. I like Grace Wilbur.
I don't. I just don't. I mean, not that I don't like my name. It's fine. I just don't like saying it out loud into the world.
I love saying my name out loud into the world.
What's our topic today, Georgia?
Today, our topic is the manga artists Clamp and the works that they have been in charge of, have made, the works that they have put out in the world.
Yeah, Clamp.
Created. That's the word that I was searching for, the works that they have created.
I love when you can't find like a really simple word.
It happens a lot. And I
Really
am
cracks me
concerned
up.
about myself.
I'm not. It's okay. It's all right. Yeah, Clamp, who I feel like most people would probably know from Cardcaptors. That was probably the most popular thing. That was really, I feel like, well known when we were in middle school,
Yeah,
right?
well known, I would say, to weebs, to anyone
Well,
who
yes, but okay. Yes, but I also feel like it was like one of those shows. It was or one of those things that was at least popular enough that like if you weren't like a weeb and you were like friends with people, you know, like it seeped out into the cracks of popular culture.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think when we grew up, there was a lot of like it was more mainstream to like manga and other kinds of anime.
It's coming back though.
It is.
Like I feel like it goes through phases.
Yeah, it still wasn't. I mean, I mean mainstream in that it still wasn't like the popular, quote unquote, popular kids things, but in like nerd communities, it was more popular. I mean, like I knew so many people who watched like Inuyasha and who, I think watching anime was kind of more popular than reading manga,
Definitely.
but I think we like It just proves to me that you and I are always going to like the book better.
We're
We're just the kind of
those
people who
people.
always love the book better, even when it's like, because I remember being afraid of anime for a while.
I also have this memory of you being
Yeah.
afraid of
Because I
anime.
watched like an Inuyasha episode too young and it kind of fucked me up.
It wasn't even that scary though. Like I feel like if you said, "Oh, I watched like I don't know what one of the bloody ones like really young," you're like,
Yeah.
"But Inuyasha wasn't that bad. That was like for
There was
children."
just like something that disturbed me in one episode that I watched, where it
Oh,
just like gave me
okay.
a weird feeling. And then I was like kind of afraid of anime for really no reason.
Well, so I think that we have Toonami to thank for that. Also, like it came on late at night. It was one of those things like Inuyasha would play like after all the Cartoon Network stuff was over. And then like remember that like 3D rendering like spacesuit guy? He would come on and he was the Toonami host and he would be like, "Hey kids, like go the fuck to bed because it's adult time." And then you'd still be awake and you were like, "I'm a badass because I'm watching this at 10:30." And then Inuyasha would come on.
Yeah.
And then some other stuff. There was a lot of anime I was exposed to through that.
Yeah.
But Cardcaptors, I believe, was on the WB because that one really was like kids. So I think it was like one of those Saturday morning ones, right? That would come on WB, like with Pokemon and like stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't think I really watched the WB. I think I didn't have the WB growing up.
WB was the best.
Yeah, I remember watching a lot of like my Saturday morning cartoons were like Looney Tunes, you know, and and when I was in like whatever was on like Nickelodeon at my mom's house. I remember my dad. No, maybe Looney Tunes was on Nickelodeon. I don't remember, but like it was my dad.
Looney Tunes was WB.
Was it WB? Maybe I did do WB though, but I don't remember. I don't remember watching Cardcaptors ever, but I remember being introduced to it by you in the manga form.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was like, this is definitely one of the things that I got you into. Mm-hmm. I feel like, yeah.
Yeah, this definitely stemmed from you more so.
Yeah, and you had friends that were into manga and anime in general, right? Like, yes. You knew people through school and stuff. But I feel like a lot of manga came from you and I just going to Borders and sitting down in the,
yes, the manga R.I.P. section. R.I.P. Borders. They had the best manga section. It was better. It was way better than Barnes & Noble.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, we would just sit there. We would, like, grab a whole bunch of them, and we would go sit in the cafe section, and we would read as many as we could, and then you would buy the one, like, the next one in the series that wasn't, mm-hmm. that you hadn't read already, and that's how you would end up with, like, your collection would be, like, 1, 3, 5, 18, 29.
Yep. So speaking of Clamp, going back to Clamp, yeah. Which first of all, I feel like we should mention that Clamp is a group of four manga artists, all women. Five? Is it five?
I think it's five.
I'm looking at the Wikipedia, and it consists of a leader and three artists.
Okay.
The leader is Nanase, I apologize for my pronunciations, which I'm sure are not going to be amazing. But Nanase, Okawa, Makona, Sabaki, Nikoi, and Satsuki Igarashi. Oh, man, not good. Oh, let's see.
I just want to say I should not have taken a drink while you were trying to do that.
Nope. Satsuki really? Igarashi. Oof, that's probably okay. Not good at all.
It's okay.
Desperately buddy. Sorry. I know. I'm doing my best.
You're like, you're so like angry at yourself.
I am because I don't like, like, I don't know. I just don't like disrespecting people by like, and they're great artists and I feel like it's disrespectful to like mess up their names. No, but anyway, so listen. Those are the four artists.
I always thought it was five for some reason. I don't know. Maybe it used to be five. Anyway.
There are a bunch of like former people. I think it's just, it does look, it looks like there's just four right now.
Yeah.
But they're four like female manga artists, which was a big deal. They started in the 90s, which was like a big fucking deal because manga was really a male dominated field before now.
Yeah.
Before
that. It was like them and like the woman who did Fullmetal Alchemist.
Yes.
Because she was also, and I think there were women, there were female manga artists who did some of the like shoujos, which for the non-former weebs out there, shoujo is the genre that's girly and shonen is the genre that is boy. Ish. So you know your Naruto's and your One Pieces. That's shonen.
Mm-hmm. Your Death Note.
Your Death Notes.
Is it Death Note? That's what it's called, right?
Yeah. Was that shonen? I mean, anyway, I never read it.
I should say at least the mangas that were like popular. You know, like the popular mangas, other than FMA and
yes. So this is my point: is like in the shoujo genre, which like was deemed as like the romances and the girly ones and the blah blah blah. I think you had female artists because those were female led stories. But getting back to Clamp, yes, they were female led. Pretty much all. You know, females, and they sort of danced the line they weren't really part of shoujo and they weren't really part of shonen, I would argue. Like, I think that they had elements of both. They had romance and they had action. They had, like, just all of their stories were very, like, blends of genre that I feel like, you know, if we went back, I don't really know that much, but but we could maybe trace it back to other mangas and animes that were out there. But I do feel like they were very much on the forefront of, like, blending a lot of genres.
Yeah, for sure. So I went back to my, when I was like, when we decided to talk about Clamp, I went back to my bookshelf. And so I had, I think we both like latched on to different Clamp series, you know?
Yeah.
I latched on heavily to, it seems like I latched on pretty heavily to Chobits, although I don't remember being that into Chobits. Legal Drug, which only has three books, was the one that underrated. I read the most. What?
Criminally underrated.
Criminally underrated. It's my favorite. But you were definitely more into like XXXHolic and Cardcaptors. I started getting into Tsubasa, but those were, I feel like Tsubasa was hard to find, like the Tsubasa novels. Or maybe it was Cardcaptors was hard to find. There was one of them that we couldn't really find.
It was Cardcaptors, and I specifically remember, do you remember that shop that was in Princeton and that girl we made friends with? And it was her and her parents that were the owners, and it was like, it had all the manga and the little, like, figurines and stuff, and we asked her
fun little tiny things that we Grace and I both love. Small things, we love tiny things, tiny
the tinier
cute things,
the better.
Like tiny food erasers, get out of here, we love them. Could not get enough.
Just very tiny items, anything that is like an item but very small.
Yeah A teeny tiny spatula, give it to me. Amazing. I love it.
It's amazing. Just one of the many linchpins in our friendship. But yeah, I specifically remember us, like, because she was like, oh yeah, like I have access to like getting manga or whatever, and she like knew people or whatever, and we like asked her and she tried to find it for us and she couldn't find it. Like, it was for some reason impossible to track Cardcaptors down, the original manga.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really hard to find.
Everything's online now, though, which is funny. I'm like pretty sure you can like torrent
everything. I'm actually like excited to go back in because I truly have not read manga in a long time. Like, it's something that, and I, every time I move, I'm just like, should I keep lugging these mangas from like apartment to apartment? And I just keep packing them because I, you know, it's a part of me that I still love. But Chobits, so I went to my shelf to look at what, you know, to reread some of these Clamp novels that I had. And Chobits, I had one and then 4, 5, 6, 7. It's just like, okay, well, I guess I'll just read the first one. And it is very sexist.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. And I remember even like as a kid being like, this is bad. And it's so weird because, and so, I mean, we can like, I guess we can get into like, does it hold up? Because as a whole, like, there are weird, even though they were a team of women, there's a lot of really weird sexism that, like, runs through a lot of the Clamp books. Although, on the flip side, you have some very wonderful, very strong, very dynamic female characters that, like, you won't find anywhere else. Yuko, queen of my heart, like, she's the best. I'd die for her. But, yeah, then you have Chobits, which is just, like, hello.
Yeah, which is just like, why was I reading it? Like, why was I so into it? I think partially that I was like very attracted to the Persicoms, if I'm being honest with myself.
If I was being honest with myself,
I definitely was sexually attracted to Chi, and that is on me. That is on
Welcome
me.
Welcome to another segment of Horny Georgia.
Yeah. Welcome to another. This whole show is just going to be like revealing how horny I was as a kid. Just like inch by inch, let's just uncover it like it's a fossil, you know? Like We're archaeologists just digging deeper into the ruins of my sexuality.
Listen, we could talk about how I was into Phi and what that says about me as a human being.
That's another thing that I was gonna bring up is because they do have a lot of like implied gay characters in their books.
Implied.
Heavily implied. Like they don't say it explicitly, but it's like they're gay. Like they're
yeah, I mean nobody ever says the word homosexual, but there's a lot of like, you know,
yeah,
very deep connections.
Yeah, holding men holding hands in a way that is each other tenderly. Erotic, you know? It's like
men dying for each other, yes. And going to war for each other, and I mean, and then you have Tomoyo and Sakura from Cardcaptors who appear again in Tsubasa, also gay. Although not requited, but I do love Tomoyo. Wait, let me ask you something about Chobits, though, because I never really got into it, and I don't know how much you remember. Was Chobits sort of a commentary on the whole sexy robot thing?
It was. It definitely was a commentary, but even within that, there was, like, that's the problem with irony, right? Is because I think there was a lot of ironic stuff, but then it still was, like, playing into, I mean, the people who read Chobits, other than me, I would probably say, like, most of the people that read Chobits read it because it was a sexy robot whose boobs were exposed a lot of the time.
I mean, you know, like, you just said you were attracted to her.
I was very, I mean, here's the thing. So her, no, when joking. The main character, you know, the main dude character finds Chi, who is a Persicom robot. She ends up being an AI because Chobits are like the AI, like mystical AI computers.
Yeah.
He finds this Persicom, which is a computer that, like, in this world in Japan, computers are robots that look and feel like human beings, except they have like animal ears. I definitely think it fed into like the furry stuff, some of the furry stuff for sure.
Yep.
Which our generation, there's a lot of furries, you know, like I know a lot of furries. And I think part of that comes from there's a lot of
You personally do?
I do personally know a lot of furries.
I have no comment on that.
I mean, like, here's the thing. I have no problem with it. Like, you know, like, I think that I obviously whatever your sexuality is, as long as it's consensual, as long as you're not hurting anyone, like, go for it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not what I would do, but like, fucking good for you. You know what I mean? Like, who am I to judge? Because I like weird things too. You know, like,
sure.
My weird things are different, but it doesn't make them any less weird. You know, so it's just like, but it definitely, when I was like reading it, I was like, oh yeah, I feel like a lot of people got their like sexual awakening, you know, like a lot of people were reading this and had like a sexual awakening about like being attracted to women with ears, you know?
I mean, the cat girl thing was around for a while back in the day. There was that whole series that was the girls who were animals. Do you remember? My friends and I were obsessed with that.
It was called Anima.
No, it was called.
Because I read it.
No, it was called Anima.
Oh, is that it? Are we thinking about a different one?
It was the girls, and they were magical girls, and they all had an animal, and they would all transform and like be part that animal, and one girl was like a dolphin or something. It was
I don't really remember that. It's not Animorphs.
It was called like Strawberry Girls or something.
Oh yes, I do remember magical that girls. magical animal. Okay,
it was basically that. I'll look it up.
But anyway, so he finds this Persicom in the trash, right? And he takes her home and he is looking for her on button. And it is literally in between her legs. Her on button is like basically her clit.
Yeah.
It's just like, even as a commentary, I'm like, ooh, people are not reading this for the we're not reading this for the right reasons. They weren't reading it for the political commentary of it all.
I would be interested to go back. I just want to say I did no preparation for this episode. I'm going purely off memory, but I would like to go back and read that maybe, because I would be interested as like an adult to see what I gleaned out of it. Because I think as a kid, I was just like, ugh, weird. And I don't know. I feel like they were trying to say something. And I think you're right. I think like often that happens where it's supposed to be a commentary, but the point gets missed because people are, you know, perverts. But I trust Clamp, and I I think that in general they have good things to say. So that's one that I would be interested in revisiting and seeing. Or, you know, if anybody out there has the scoop, just let me know. Then I don't have to read it. Maybe I should just go on Wikipedia.
You know, they have like the the like big master, you know, like the, I forget what they're called, but they have like the copies of Chobits in Barnes and Noble. I was there recently and I saw one.
Oh, the whole where it's like a big,
Like I want to say conglomerate, and that's not the right word. Compilation. There's,
I want to say atlas, but that's also not the right word. What is it called? It's called an omnibus.
They have the omnibus versions, which, you know, you could spend
with Atlas.
Could spend a little while reading one of those in a Barnes and Noble soon. I almost said in a Borders, but that doesn't exist anymore. R.I.P.
RIP.
They had better coffee too.
Yeah,
because they had like Seattle's best coffee in the Borders.
They had Seattle's best, baby,
and that was our jam. Shit. But I was gonna say earlier when he brought up Phi. So
yes.
I think a lot of the,
I could talk about Phi for an hour. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So I think Phi was like, because I reading Tsubasa. You know, I just have the first one,
right.
But Phi really is like presented very effeminate, you know?
He is basically presented as a woman. I mean, and then throughout the series, there are, like, he dresses in women's clothes. He refers to himself as like mom and like takes on this role of like a mother within the group. And like, just, there's so many things with him that and I would say that he's their character that does this the most, although there are other characters within some of their series that do this on and off. But, like, yeah, he just is, like, I don't want to use this term, but female-coded.
Like, yes, he's very femme. He's juxtaposed against the...
Yeah, Kurigane.
Kurigane, who is, like, you know, very typically male. Like,
yeah, he's a ninja from, like, feudal times.
Yeah, just like very broody, very not closed off, not open, you know. Although they all have secrets, you know, everyone's got a secret. That's the thing about manga is like everyone's got a secret and a backstory and everyone's got like it gets revealed very slowly. It's very soap opera-y in that way.
But isn't that like life? Doesn't that just reflect?
I don't know. Life? I'm very much an open book. Like, ask me anything. Whatever. I'll tell you. I was horny for a lot of anime characters when I was a kid. Come at me.
Let's list them now. No, ironically, Kurigane is the one with the least amount of secrets.
Yeah.
He appears in the beginning to be the one that is, like, the most broody, the most, like, hiding something. It turns out in the end, he is just a ninja. He just wants to go home.
Literally just a ninja, wants to go home, wants to kill people. That is, like, his whole story.
People.
He just wants to murder people indiscriminately. That's what he wants.
Instead, he got a homosexual awakening.
He did, which is the journey that his queen sent him on. So
love that for him.
Me too. But yeah, so I was thinking, you know, with Phi, and there's a lot of characters like that in Legal Drug, you know, like there's more effeminate, the blonde characters are like more effeminate.
Oh, and that's totally a thing. I also want to just say that the couple from Legal Drug are totally Phi and Kurigane. Like, they're almost not quite, but like they very much mirror them. They're very, very similar.
Yes, they're very similar. I mean, they do this a lot throughout their mangas, where it's like the dark broody one is paired with the more like effeminate blonde one, like that.
Yes.
Especially with male pairs, that happens pretty often. But I did want to say, like, they write these kind of like femme-coded, femme-leaning male characters.
Yeah.
To do things that like they maybe wouldn't have their female characters do. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I feel like it's kind of their way of writing feminine storylines. But geared towards an audience that is kind of more sexist, you know?
Okay.
Maybe. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
I do. And that's a really interesting take. Because they do have really good female characters, but most of their stories are very male-centric. But then they have this whole running through line of these, like, very gay storylines and very feminine sort of men. So it is really, really interesting. I think that they in general have a lot to say about gender and about like how manga is very sexist and very male dominated. And I think that some of that is just their response to that world, because I'm sure going into that industry, they just faced a lot of sexism and a lot of, you know.
Yeah, especially writing the kinds of stories that they wanted to write, you know, like, because they aren't writing.
They're not. But shoujo, like,
you know,
their stories still have a good amount of romance in them, which is also really interesting.
Yeah, but that's like, that's a great balance. That's here's the thing. This is what you get when you have diversity in your writer's rooms, right? Is you get like if you want to write, you get a good combination of both. You know, you get a good combination of like, of intimacy and
fighting. I think you do need both. I think you 100% need
both. And I mean, like, and not have it feel forced, because I think my complaint with a lot of, you know, a lot of movies and books and things where it just feels like the romance was like shoehorned in there, like it just, like, that's my complaint with like Guardians of the Galaxy, the movies. It's just like that romance just felt like absolutely nonsensical, you know? There's no reason why they should end up together. No reason. It doesn't make sense.
I've never seen it.
It doesn't make sense. It makes me really mad.
I think a lot of Marvel is just like that.
Yes.
I think that's just what Marvel is like. Well, and that's, yeah. So that is a very clear distinction in that, like, where you, especially with romance, like, it does get shoehorned in there because they're like, well, we need this. We need, like, sexiness.
Yeah, we need a little bit of spice added to this pot.
But is it spice though? I think that's more like that's just about like male dominated like stories and being like, oh, he gets the girl because he did this and that's his prize. That's the girl. She's his prize.
Love being the prize at the end of the movie.
I love that for us.
It's my favorite thing.
All I want in life is to be the prize at the end of the movie.
Yeah, I just want to be ancillary to somebody else's story arc, you know?
Yes, yes, 100%. I want to maybe die tragically in the beginning so that the male character can then have a deeper storyline.
Yeah, I want to exist only in flashbacks.
Yes, yes, yes. Which are all filmed on a shaky camcorder, like a home video.
Overexposed.
That's all I want. That's all I want as a woman. but yeah, I mean, I think in the case of Clamp, like, and as like, you know, kids, I guess, teens, tweens, whatever, reading this, like, it was like so compelling to read a story that was such a mix of that. And that was so good and so well written. And like, do some of their stuff get convoluted? Yes, absolutely. Do I understand the end of Tsubasa? No, I fucking don't. Don't try to explain it to me. I don't know.
Even the beginning of Tsubasa is a little unclear.
There is so much shit that happens that's like the fucking clones, like clones come in and then you're just like, who, what, who, and why, and what?
It really, I mean, manga really does. It is like a, it's like Days of Our Lives or like, it really is like soap opera-esque and that like somebody dies and then they come back and then there's a clone and there's a, you know, they've got these weird backstories where people will just show up for an episode or two, you know?
I think that's kind of a good point, though, because it is, like I'm thinking, too, about, like, a lot of these mangas, like, a lot of these shonens that go on for, like, ever and ever and ever and ever, and there's just, like, 10,000 volumes, and it does get really like that, because I feel like, and it's the same, you know, soap operas have been on for 46 years, so at a certain point, they're like, oh, what do we do? Oh, this guy, he comes back, and he's evil now, and he has a twin brother who died in a volcano, and they're in love.
And they're in love.
What? Who? what? Oh, that character from page 47 of volume 3? Oh, he's back? Okay, great.
Cool. Great. Do a flashback for me so I know where he came from. That, I feel like it would be so fun, though, to work. I would love to get a writing job working for a soap opera. I think that would be the funnest. Because it would
I wonder what it's like. Like, do they take it really seriously?
I would hope not.
I feel like it's somehow not as fun as it seems.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, nothing is, right? Nothing's ever as fun as it seems. Except for maybe writing for Invader Zim. But I do want to talk more. I want to talk about... So I want to talk about Legal Drugs.
Sure, sure. Yeah,
because
yeah.
I freaking love it. and, like, does it hold up? Kind of, you know? Yes and no.
Yeah.
Chobits, I feel like, does not. Yeah. Chobits, I read the first one, and then I was like, I think I'm ready to disabuse myself of the rest of these comics. I feel like I can pass them on to somebody else who might be horny and need to read about hot lady robots.
Hot, sexy lady robots with ears.
With ears, whose on buttons are literally in between their legs. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's not something that I need to hold on to anymore. But Legal Drug, I did buy the third... The third one, finally.
Yeah.
Legal Drug is also one that I feel like Borders had super randomly, because I don't feel like it's a popular one. I don't think, like, they only made three, and so I don't know why Borders even had copies of them, but they just, like, kind of landed in my life, and it is, like, wild how connected I was to gay content. Mm-hmm. You know, as a person who fully believed that I was just a straight person. You know, but I was like, so the stuff that I was so connected to was always so gay.
Yeah. I mean, you're preaching to the choir here. Like, truly.
Yeah.
Clamp, though, was like a healthy outlet for that. Because
it was,
you had, you know, you had your Sasuke's and your Naruto's, you know, and all that. You had your shippers of other things, but Clamp, I felt like, yes, it was still subtext, but it was there.
Yeah, it was definitely way more explicit, like, especially in Legal Drug. So Keiki and Saiga, who were, like, it's, like, the owner of the grocery store where the two main characters live and work, and he sends them, so Keiki sends them on, like, weird mystical assignments. And they're very explicitly, like, they almost kiss in, like, several panels. Like, they never quite get there.
Oh, the owner guys. Okay, yes, yes, yes.
They, like, that's are right. very, very, very affectionate.
That's
like,
right.
It's very clear that they are...
They're, like, canonically
gay
in a
together. Yeah, they're canonically together. And there's even, like, in the first book, there's even, like, a little... Because the fun thing about mangas is there's, like, the main story, and then sometimes inserted either, like, in between, there'll be, like, one little fun little additive to the novel.
Yeah.
Or at the very end, there's, like, little, like, kind of almost, like, fan fiction-esque little inserts. And at the end of the first book, there's one where Keiki is... And he's like, I'm marrying Saiga, and I'm going to be called Mom now. And it's all, like, it is a little, you know, by today's standards, pretty problematic. Like, not, it's, a lot of it is, like, kind of jokey, you know, in a kind of, like, way that wouldn't really be great by today's standards.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, pretty revolutionary.
I think that they did that to, like, get away with it a lot.
Yes.
Because, like, to present it as a joke, because that happens a lot in Tsubasa as well, because you know, you have Fi and Kurigane and you have Sakura and Shaoran, and, like, Fi and Kurigane were the mom and dad, and Shaoran and Sakura were their kids. Like, there was this whole, like, family dynamic that they, like, reference a lot and make jokes about a lot, and it is very, like, yeah, they were just trying to get away with it. Like Fi just, like, completely taking on the role of, like, a mother, and, like, saying that his partner was a male who was the dad. Like, you know, it was just, like, I felt like they were just, the reason it was jokey was because they were like, well, we can't present this seriously.
Yeah, I feel like there's still a lot of homophobia in Japan, you know? I feel like that is still an issue. I mean, there's still a lot of homophobia in America. Yeah. You know, let's not pull any punches here, but.
Sure. Yeah. I can't really speak to it. I don't want to misspeak, I guess. But yeah, it's definitely different flavors of homophobia, shall we say.
Yes. Yes,
that are in other countries. And Japan definitely has some issues still.
So it feels like, you know, Japan is this, there's a lot of like openness about like companionship. Like there's a lot of like places, like cafes you can go where you can like get a companion, you know, basically. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's like, there's a lot of like open, like escort service type of places.
Interesting.
That don't necessarily offer sex that I know of, but you know, like you can pay a woman to have tea with you in a shop, you know, like that's like a whole business plan. And so it's like, there is, and then there's like vending machines where you can buy porn stars underwear, used underwear, you know, like yeah. There are things that are like, that seem kind of open about Japan and sexually, but at the same time, there's this like deep repression, especially with like gender politics.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think a lot of it is misogyny.
A lot of it is misogyny. There's a lot of like gender politics stuff, which are pretty repressive from what I know. Mm-hmm. But I think, and I do think that they joke about it in these books, but they do want to, you know, they want to put these stories out there. Legal drug is very, it's very clear that all of these characters are very gay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone's gay.
Yeah.
Which is the thing that I loved about it the most, for sure.
Yeah. And it is interesting too, that it's sort of, it's every, pretty much every one of their series, which I haven't super investigated some of their earlier work. Like I know that they have some stuff that came out before Cardcaptors that I'm not like super familiar with, but the characters do sometimes appear in Tsubasa. So I'm like familiar on that level, but they have like other stuff. But pretty much every one of their series has like a gay character or a gay relationship
yeah.
in it. And it is just so funny to me that this group of women was just like, here's a bunch of stories about gay people. We're just going to do
that. I love that for them.
That.
No, I love
we're,
it.
We're just going to do that.
it's so cute. It's so like adorable, you know? Like, I do root for each and every one of these relationships, even though it's always a broody man, you know, and, yeah. like, an effeminate, a broody black-haired man and, like, an effeminate blonde. And it's, like, it's well, always the way it goes.
Hello. I mean, you know, sure.
It's cute. I love
I
it.
I mean, sure.
But, yeah, there is some stuff, you know, like we talk about in a lot of things. Like these are from like the 90s, early 2000s, most of them.
Yeah.
These storylines. So there's some things that don't necessarily hold up great by our standards, but I think for the most part, I don't know. They're still great. They're still fun. They're still great reads. There's a lot of like, I mean, XXXHolic, I remember really, really, really enjoying.
XXXHolic, I don't know why. Like it's just one of those like animes I've seen like multiple times. Because I think for me, it like, super holds up. The concept is really cool. There's like, it gets convoluted, but at the beginning it's very simple. And like one of the reasons I like it so much, and I think one of the like main threads, this is definitely true of Legal Drug, is that it takes place in this in our world, you know, mm-hmm. like our normal world, but then you have just these like elements of magic and fantasy that like weave through it. I don't know, like that to me is just like my shit. Like that is where I thrive. That's like, I'm like, yeah, like I love the concept of like you're walking down the street and you like open a door to like what looks like a normal restaurant, but it's like a crazy shop that things are happening. There's spirits and you know, all that stuff. And XXXHolic, I think, also did a lot where they played on common, I guess it's not really the word I'm looking for, but like Japanese fables and fairy tales and stories and like ancient things like that. They did a lot of that.
Yeah. I would say that that's one of my favorite genres too, is mm-hmm. like not, I don't know if that would necessarily be mystical realism because it's more mystical than realism, you know, in that sense. But they're like, I mean, I think that's when we talked about Harry Potter, like that's why it resonated with so many people mm-hmm. because it's like our world. And then you get this secret, you know, yep. you get this letter and you get secret access to this whole world that's like behind the facade of this world or whatever.
Yep.
And I think we're, you know, as kids and especially as young queer kids too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that we are all searching for a place that we belong and we feel connected to these stories where there's something that's like, mm-hmm. there's something magical. There's some place where we belong, where people are like us, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I connect to stories on that same level too. And I just, you know, I want to fall down a rabbit hole into a magic world. Like that sounds like a fucking riot, you know?
I think it's just like, for me, it's definitely the aspect of like, oh, this could maybe exist. And we just don't know. Like, we just don't know because we're not privy to this, like, secret magical information. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's what appeals to me about it, is that it's like, oh, if I knew how to find that little place, I could go there. But I don't. Because I'm just a normal person. But it exists. It could maybe exist. And I think, like, that is what's cool about it to me. So that's why I'm very, like, drawn to these sort of stories, and like XXX Holic really encapsulates that genre to me in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And it also, to your point about like young queer kids and that sort of thing, I'm really now thinking that Clamp was writing to a queer audience, because there's also mm-hmm. this trope of, or like theme, I guess, of found family in like so many of their stories. Like there's a lot of like XXX Holic has the main character Watanuki, who possibly turns out to be Sakura and Sharon's son, I don't know, but he's basically an orphan, and he goes to this shop and he meets this magical witch, and she like sort of, she really takes him in and becomes like a, not a motherly figure to him, certainly not, because he ends up doing like her chores and stuff. But like, yeah. he like at the end, he like talks about how much he loves her and like wants her in his life. And like, there's just this like, I don't know, there's this aspect to a lot of their stories that really have to do with like finding your place and like finding the people who like go with you, whether that's romantic, platonic, familial, like, and that just to me is like, yeah, like, mm-hmm. that's it right there. What else should anybody be writing about than all of us finding our place within this big, crazy world, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think found family is very important. And you and I are both lucky that we have family that will love and accept us no matter what we do or who we turn out to be.
Yeah.
You know, but a lot of people don't have that. And that mm-hmm. makes me really sad. If you have a family that's shitty, I don't think you should feel beholden to that family. If your family's shitty to you, drop them like a hot potato, man.
Yeah,
like, they're blood, but like, and I know that's me saying that as a person who has a loving family and can't, you know.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's just like, you deserve better, and there are people out there that will treat you better than if your family isn't doing that, it doesn't matter if you're blood related, you know, like mm-hmm. they don't get to treat you in a way that is demeaning or mean or makes you feel bad.
Yeah.
No one gets to do that.
Yeah.
And there are people out there that will love you and accept you, and like, you can make your own family. And I think that's very important for people to know.
I agree. My family will adopt you.
I know. Oh, Grace's family will adopt you in a second. So will mine, honestly. My family is very much, you know, like 3 months into like me and Tucker's relationship, my mom is just like, oh, does he want to come home for any holiday and all of them?
It's so funny. My mom with any friend I've ever had.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, bring them over.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, I feel like our parents are very much, you know, even my dad was that way too. Yeah. Like, it was just anyone 100%. Anyone who I mean, they were like, anyone you love is family to us.
100%.
Which is a beautiful way to live.
I agree with you. And I mean, we can say that we're very lucky. So, you know, we can't speak to anybody's situation, obviously, but I agree with you. But yeah, in the context of Clamp, they had so much of that found family theme going on that, you know, I'm really like, as we're sitting here talking about this, I really am having the revelation that I think that they really were actually writing for queer audiences.
I think so too. I think I wholeheartedly agree. I would say that I think that they had some sort of effect on the culture, although I'm not entirely sure what that is, you know, like I think that their art was, did affect a lot of people, but I can't draw any direct lines. But what do you think? Do you think that they had an effect on the culture in any way?
I mean, yes. Well, first of all, their art style is unlike any like other manga series or anime series that I have. If you want a good laugh, just go look up the proportions from the XXX Holic anime. Like the way that everybody's body looks is so fucking funny. Everybody has like really, really long like limbs and like,
yeah, giant noodly arms.
Oh, the noodliest. It's so funny. But yeah, I mean, their art style in general is like gorgeous, amazing, revolutionary, show-stopping, etc. I think that Cardcaptors was like really influential in the magical girl genre, which like Sailor Moon started, and I think Cardcaptors sort of continued. Yeah, I just think in general the way that they like blended a lot of genres of like fantasy, action, romance, blah blah, whatever else you want to throw in there.
I haven't read any manga in a long time, and I was like wandering around in the manga section of the Barnes and Noble because I was very excited to be in a bookshop. I haven't been in a Barnes and Noble in a long time.
Yeah.
So I went one day and I was just like very excited to be there. So I was just wandering around all the sections.
Yeah.
And I was wandering around in the manga section and I was just like, there was a lot of Clamp. So I do think, and I think I haven't read any more modern mangas. And I would think that, yeah, if I read more of them, then I would probably see some influences, perhaps.
Yeah, that's true. I really haven't either. I mean, like sometimes I'll go back to stuff that I liked back in the day, but like, I'm trying to think of one I've read like recently. I don't think there's really any.
I read part of one called A Man and His Cat.
Oh yeah, shout out to
I thought about buying it. I truly did.
Shout out, that one looks dope. It's literally just about this old man and his fucking
it's old man cat. And his cat. Little chonky baby.
I love
And the cat keeps calling himself ugly, and I'm like, that is untrue.
No.
The cat is like, I'm never gonna get adopted because I'm an ugly cat. And I'm like, how dare you? You're adorable, you stupid little beast.
Fat cats are the best, man. They are.
So great. I also do wanna say that legal drug, I think part of the reason that I was drawn to it is because it has like weed leaves on its cover.
That's true. They had that whole like motif about weed in it because it was called that, but like that wasn't actually part of the story.
Yeah, there is no actual weed in the story whatsoever.
There's literally no, it's just on the cover. They were like, yep.
They were like, legal drug. Even though like it wasn't legal in Japan and wasn't legal in the States at the time. I think it was only legal in like Amsterdam, you know?
I think the legal drug that they're referring to is love.
Yeah. I think it is love.
I think it's love.
I think love is a legal drug.
Also, they worked in a pharmacy. Yeah, they worked in a
pharmacy. It might have been the name of the pharmacy. I'm actually not sure.
No, I think it was love.
I think it is about
Listen,
love in the end.
What do any of their names mean? Like, what does XXX Holic mean? I don't know. What does Tsubasa mean? I don't know. The only one that makes sense is Card Captors, because that's literally what she did. She went out there and she captured those cards.
It's true. It's true. What does Yu-Gi-Oh even mean?
It means King of Games, Georgia.
Does it?
Yes. In the context of the show, I don't know if it looks.
Anyway, so that brings us to our final question.
Yes. Do we still dig this? I'm going to go with a 100% yes for me on everything except probably Chobits. Although I'm kind of interested in revisiting it. Did they ever make an anime out of it?
I don't know. Probably. It's very horny. It's so horny. They're all horny. I feel like a lot of anime, even the shonen stuff, is pretty horny. But Chobits, I have to say, is probably the horniest manga I've read.
Which is interesting because, like, none of Clamp's other work is really like that. I mean, except for the, like, tender male touching. But, like, really other than that, like, they very much stay away from, like, sexiness in general.
Yeah, I think the reason why I just think there probably is a commentary, but the reason why I'm like, I don't think I want to continue reading it or revisiting it is because there's like a lot of poses that Chi is in that are deeply sexual. Like she's wearing a t-shirt and like on her knees and you see her from behind. So, and like, it's basically you would see her vagina would be out if this was like a porn. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like,
I mean, we could talk about the misogyny all day. But Clamp will just say yes. I like, totally. I don't really know what they're up to recently. I know that they've finished out like Triple X Holics of, like, although that came back, right? Didn't it had like came back?
You would, and,
like,
know, I would not.
Happening. Like, it was still confusing.
Yeah, because it's a soap opera. They bring it back.
We'll get back to you on that one.
It's a soap opera. They bring it back, but they're on a cruise ship now.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah. Clamp, yes. Clamp gets a yes from us.
Hell yeah. Two thumbs up.
Two thumbs up. Very gay thumbs up.
Thumbs up to this.
Premium gay content.
Check it out. If you haven't, I mean, like, it's never too late to get into weeb shit. So
absolutely.
Just promise me if you get into weeb shit that you will not do the Naruto run. Please don't.
Or do it. I mean, whatever. live your life.
Live your bliss, I guess.
Live your life.
But I judge people who do the Naruto run more than I judge furries, so.
Georgia, that's quite a statement.
That is how I feel. I'm not going to judge anyone for how they perform their sexuality. I will judge people for how they run around in the streets. So.
Oh, boy. Well, no comment on that, but.
All right. Well, I love you.
I love you.
And I miss your face.
I miss your face. That sounded so disingenuous. I was like, I love you.
Well, that's how you say it all the time.
Yeah, it comes out very flat. But I do.
It does. But I know you mean it. I can tell when you mean it.
Yes. All right. I miss your face. All right.
Bye.
Bye. This has been a G-Squared production with your hosts, Georgia Gove and Grace Wilbur. You can find us on all the social medias at Still Dig This Pod. Our producer is Irem Dogan-Kali, and our music is Banana Snacks by Demon Garden. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
This show has been brought to you by Machine Culture.